I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and alone. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and in His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rose calls up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and in love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rose calls up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to the heaven above. There's a hole in a beautiful sea, whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven, when Patmos in exile he trod. His high mass of walls of jasper, and the city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. No sin is allowed in that city, no nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter, no creep on the door not be seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken, there's nothing to hurt nor destroy. 'Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for that white city jumps up coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moist in the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all glorified, holy, deliverance, sweetheart, money there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings are achieved. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away, and soon I shall join that bright number and dwell in eternity day. They're saved now in glory with Jesus, their trials and battles are past. They've overcome sin and the tempter, they've reached that fair city at last. 'Cause in that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for that white city jumps up coming down. Now I'm watching, waiting and longing for that white city jumps up coming down. To a lot of people, that's just a song, but to you and I, that city, that whole beautiful city that John saw coming down, that's you and I, that's the bride. The bride is coming down. First she goes up in the rapture, and then at the end of it all, when Jesus comes back, she's coming back with him. Because Enoch saw it. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Those are those that people have made themselves ready. They have put the word of God above their reputation, above everything else. They have accepted the Lord Jesus and in baptism, and they've been born again, and then they did whatever it takes to be identified and to get themselves ready, and that's what you and I are about. It's the only ambition we have in life, is to be about the Lord's business. And these songs are not strange to us. It's just to us it's reality. It was a day in early springtime by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer paused to rest his camel train. He had found a bright horizon, yes, evening shadows fell. For the weary journey had not been in vain. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joys will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Now he took the fair Rebecca, decked with jewels so rich and rare, back to Abraham and Isaac far away. Where Rebecca loves her Isaac and he loves Rebecca fair. Oh, that must have been a happy wedding day. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Now the blessed Holy Spirit left the Father God above to come down to earth to find a worthy bride. For our Isaac over yonder has prepared his sins of love, and he wants the fair Rebecca by his side. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer?
call. There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. We haven't left our kinfolk glad. We have bid this world goodbye. We are going to the land beyond the sky. We will behold our eyes again in that blessed eternity. What a happy, happy wedding that will be. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Can't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin. In the evening when the camel train comes in. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the grace. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is the grace. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is the faith. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well.
Sometimes wonder why there's a few people that are interested in this spiritual gold mine that you and I are putting out there every day. People are just not interested. It should be lined up from here to Chicago just to hear us. Because I know we have the truth, eh? You and I have the truth for the day and now we're living in, and we're just putting it out there every day because it's not our program. It's all the Lord's all instituted this whole thing ever since He got a hold of us way back in 1971 when He saved us and He saved me and gave me eternal life and then He gave me my commission and we're just following the Lord. We're just walking with the Lord. To us it's not a strange thing, but you know, a lot of people that would love to have what we have, but they're not willing to pay the price. They're ashamed of Christ. They're ashamed of that reproach of Christ, and many times I wonder what could I have done different that would have attracted the people to listen to what they have to say. Because I keep taking inventory. I go back and I look at my life, and could I have done anything different? Well, when the Lord saved me, I begin to pray, Lord, use me for Your glory. Do with me as You see fit. That's still my prayer today. So how can I say, how could have, should have, would have, you know? What could I have done different?
Well, I go by the scripture. Like if there would be no scripture for us to or know what it's going to be like, then it would be very discouraging. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the scripture and you find that Jesus, He was a perfect human being. There was no sin in Him. Mm-hmm. There was no fault in Him. Mm-hmm. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and He rejected Him. So it has nothing to do with who you are as a person. It is really the message you carry and you bring. And that's what they really reject, is that message that God has for the day and hour.
Yeah, I heard this one guy said, what would he do? What would I do different? He said, I was this perfect human being, he said, but whatever I did or didn't do, he got me I'm at a good place right now. Mm-hmm. That's all we can say. Whatever I had to go through in life, I take inventory. Could I have done that? Should I have done this? Should I have been a better example? Well, Brother Brennan was the perfect example. Mm-hmm. The Lord dealt with him when he was only young. Don't ever drink or smoke or defile your body with women. He had that perfect record, and they couldn't find out now yet. At the end of it all, there's only one, Raymond M. Jackson, that really heard him. The same way Brother Jackson, if the truth be told, he preached for 40 years, and he had practically an unblemished record. And at the end of the day, you and I are the only two people that heard him.
Mm-hmm.
If push comes to shove, you know. Right. We think a lot about things. Why don't we have people that are hungry and thirsty for things of God? And it's because, you shine like, if you go tell somebody, and you believe what we're saying here, that's that thing that Daniel saw, the righteous shall shine like the stars forever and ever. And all you got to do is tell them what we have heard and what we have seen, and just go tell it to somebody. They don't even seem to want to do that. They don't even want to shine like the stars forever and ever. Tremendous payout if you just as much as believe it and you tell it to somebody. It's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. I just found some scriptures over the years where the Lord inspired certain scriptures, and then he just touched on certain scriptures. That's what we hang on to, prepare for the hour we're living in. Mm-hmm. And to us, it's so real. I wouldn't want to live no other way than the way we're living is by the word of God. Mm-hmm. And there's peace and safety, joy unspeakable, full of glory. You're living in a world that's falling apart and full of hate and everything under the sun. And here we're sitting like in an oasis.
That's right.
Right out of the wind, hideaway and the cleft of the rock. And we got spiritual gold mine for people. If they only want it, all they got to do is believe it and go tell. It's all about going and telling. And I don't know how people can not go and tell, because I try to gauge everybody with myself, because when I hear about a truth like salvation, I wanted every human being on the face of the earth to be saved and to have eternal life. And then I found out about the truth, and the first thing I couldn't talk fast enough. I couldn't move fast enough to tell everybody that I know about this here truth. And lo and behold, I found out they didn't want it. And almost cost me my life to go tell people about it. To this day, the people that rejected it, they're not to be heard anymore.
Yeah.
They went into the region beyond without ever having found it.
That's why they're
not listening.
Uh-huh. That's why there's such confusion out there. It's because people have rejected the prophet for the age. And that's why there's so many voices out there. And that's why people, they cannot hear the truth, really. Like when people listen, they're listening, but they're really not hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's wrong, because there's so many voices out there to distract people. Like I was reading something about that Kirk Cameron. He did the Left Behind series, and he was saying that with reading more of the church history, that he has now come to the conclusion that Left Behind series is really not true. Well, I didn't have to read nothing to know that it's not. It's kind of fabricated. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff of the Left Behind is just an imagination. It's just a figment of the imagination. And then they wrote this book, these two people, and they made a movie out of it. And then he was saying, Kurt Cameron, he's been reading church history, and he has a lot of different views on things than he used to have. And I thought to myself, you know, I've read some church history myself, and when you're really done, it can be very confusing, because there are a lot of different views when you go into church history. Is a lot of these men had different views on things. And it had to be a prophet of the age, Brother Brenham, to interpret it all out, and Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jackson, when he said the six thousand years of creation, the 6 days of creation. He read it actually in the church fathers that there's actually 6,000 years process that God, that it took God to recreate the planet and everything in order for him to put mankind on this planet. Mm-hmm. It took a 7,000 years process in order for it to be at a place where it can now, the human being can now inhabit this planet, mm-hmm. because it was in a judgmental state and God had to recreate it out of that judgmental state. And like Brother Jackson was able to interpret it properly because he fell under the ministry of Brother Brenham. Mm-hmm. If he wouldn't have, then he could not have interpreted a lot of things the way he did. It's mm-hmm. because he heard Brother Brenham say, I believe the seed was from a former civilization. And that's why people that go and try to interpret things on their own are most of the time going to miss it. Mm-hmm. It's because God sent a prophet to the Laodicea church hour to put it right. Otherwise, you know, it's a lot of mixture that you can come up with when you read a history.
Yeah, a lot of imagination, mm-hmm. like we keep saying over and over again. We go back to the scriptures. Is this the revelation that God gave to Jesus, the gift to the angel, the gift to John? And then it goes on. And then Jesus said before he went to the crucifixion, he said, this is going to be eternal life that you believe on those that I will send. That's why you and I, we know we're right. That's why I can't, for the life of me, understand why people don't want to know the truth. We go back and forth. We take inventory of our life. And like I say, I sometimes wonder if I would have done things different. But Brother Brenham did things different. Jesus did things different. Jesus was that perfect human being. Did they believe? At the end of the day, they crucified him. Got nothing to do with your life, with your prayer. It's got to do, how are you going to do with the Word of God? Mm-hmm. You and I, we took that Word, we looked at it, and we accepted it, and we adjusted our lifestyle to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were not these perfect human beings, but we did everything according to the Scripture, that the best that we knew how. We saw it in the Scriptures, we, you know, that God's going to send these 7 stars, these 7 church ages, these 7 angels, of the church age into the latest age, and anything outside of that channel is suddenly going to lead you out to hell and death. It's just that simple. We happen to just tap into it because we were hungry and thirsty for truth and we wanted to live in reality. We didn't want this phony stuff out there. The John Hagee stuff and the Benny Hinn stuff and all these preachers that are beating their gums together. We didn't want no part of that. We wanted something that's real. And now we're here, the last leg of the journey. Our only mission now is the coming of the Lord. Prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to come into your presence again, Lord, this morning, just to give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us and have done, or just not enough that we can say about what you've done for us in life, Lord. We can, like the song says, there's many nights we knelt by our bedside, Lord, just to pray and to give you thanks for all you've done. When we saw what you took it upon yourself, that you go to Calvary just to save us from sin, Lord. And all we want to do now, Lord, is try to do a little bit that we can to repay it for everything you had to go through on behalf of us so that we can have eternal life, Lord. We never want to stop giving you thanks, Lord. And the only thing that we can do to give you thanks is to just say, Lord, do with us as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for your glory. That's the only prayer we've ever had, Lord. I know we missed it many times, but at the end of the day, we keep coming back to that well of grace, Lord. And we just want to pray, Lord, that you continue to take our vocal cords. Help us say the things the way you want them said. I know we offend a lot of people because we're still speaking so plain, but we can't speak none other than the way you want us to speak, Lord, so that you can be, so it can be used for your honor, for your glory, Lord. We just pray you'll get that increase. Open the hearts of the people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And it's, you take inventory, like I say. How come there's not people lined up from here to Chicago just to hear it? But just the way it is. We got war, as it was, so shall it be. Can you hear people lined up back in the days of Noah? They couldn't wait to get rid of them. And the same with in the days of Lot. You didn't see no revival in the days of Lot. Like they tried to get rid of him. They, hey, are you the only stranger here want to rule over us? And things like that. And then when Jesus came on the scene, they couldn't get rid of him fast enough. And so it's not going to be any different. So we encourage ourselves because we have the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We have history. We have all these things. And we have Brother Brandon. And like I say, we have these church-age messengers. We tie ourselves together with what Jesus said. This is going to be eternal life. And anything outside of that chamber, anything outside of these seven churches, say seven messengers, is going to take you out to hell of that. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good it looks. And I don't care how that Hutterite system. Where has anybody ever done what you and I are doing to expose these communes for what they are? Mm-hmm. We're just following the Lord. The Lord just one day allowed me to see what it's all about. Behind is the spirit of Satan. And he's got people deceived. We go back right when the church age of Sardis, back when Martin Luther came on the scene to turn that whole ship around, and there, right beside Martin Luther, Satan had his studs, and they happened to be Peter Riedemann, and Andreas Ehrenpreis, and Jacob Hutter, and all these are just people that Satan has picked out to drag it back into the dark ages where the Roman Catholic Church, they had their Pope, and they had their eldest to the. But now Satan, he's looking back and how he can pervert that thing again, because Martin Luther brought a revelation to the people of the earth, and the just shall live by faith, just that simple. There's no room here for works. All it is, you walk by faith, the just shall live by faith. Just that simple. And like I say, the devil, he's sitting back and he's like, how can he pervert this thing again? Because now everybody knows that the Catholic Church is rotten back in the 1500s. It rotten to the core. Now Satan has to put on a different form. Now he's got to put on that cloak of religion. Now he's got to come in as a white horse rider. Now he's got to really come in with a subtleness. So what does he do? He gets religion. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's wrong to have music in the church. All these things that Zwingli and that Jacob Hutter and all these ideas that came out, that they were hatched out right from Satan. In order to have brotherly love, you have to live in the commune where you care for one another. That's what the devil has done now for the last, since the 1500s, to pervert everything. And see, now, you know now, here in his end time, he's coming down having great wrath because his time is short. And how does he do it? He doesn't use a pitchfork. He uses more of the same garbage, more of the same deception. And he gets people intimidated where they were the bad people and they're the good people, because he says, and the last day, good will be called evil and evil will be called good. So he's got the masses come brainwashed just because you and I are hanging out together. He's got them so brainwashed into thinking it's a sexcapade, it's a shaking up program, when all the while the Lord has been using us for his glory, for his honor, and we're just fitting out these truths here, and like I say, it's shocking that not too many people care for it.
And that's the way God hides it. Like, he puts us together, and if people don't receive it by revelation, then they're not going to see it, and the natural thinking overtakes them, and there's nothing spiritual about the person. It's like the same way in Jesus' day, they thought that he was born out of wedlock, that he was born out of fornication, and that you could not get that out of people's minds, because even Joseph, he wanted to put her away, because he couldn't comprehend it. And then the angel of the Lord came to him and let him know this situation here, that this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then and only then he was okay with marrying her. Mm-hmm. And then he married her. But these religious zealots, that was in their minds. That's why they couldn't get past that blockage that Jesus was born out of fornication. And they could not get over that hump. See, that's the way God does it. He will put a stumbling block before you. Mm-hmm. And then people, if you don't receive it by revelation, then you're not going to hear. They didn't hear what Jesus had to say. Why? It's because God lets the situation arise in such a way that if a person is not hungry, he's not going to hear and he's not going to see.
That's the same thing that happened here. One day the Lord told him to pick you up, and I picked you up, asked you to come travel with me, and then about a month later, all of a sudden it dawned on me. Oh man, what are people going to think? And then the Lord came on the scene. He told me, you know very well what they're going to think. But without Lorraine, there is no program. Sam, you're not going anywhere without Lorraine. And I look back now, I'd be dead 10 times over if the Lord hadn't put you and I together, because I was all wore out, you know. And then he'd come along, and then now we're both doing this thing together. It doesn't matter what people say, do or think. It doesn't really, in fact, it gives me fuel. And all of a sudden, everybody's on our case. The family's on our case, and oh man, you should have seen the emails that we got and the text messages and all that stuff. Oh, but see, we knew the Lord put it together. We didn't care what people say, do or think. And to this day, we're just going ahead 100 miles an hour, because we have none of this stuff detracts us from the phone calls we get. I call them the phone calls from hell, text messages from emails right out of hell, because Satan wants this thing. Once you and I separated, and from day one, he'd be trying to work overtime to get us separated, because, you know, if we ever get together, it's, you know, it's God's program. He didn't know what it'll all come to, and neither did we, because by faith, the Lord told me to pick you up, and then one day it just dawned on me. I wonder what people are going to say, do and think. Well, you came on the scene, you know very well what they're going to think. But without Lorraine, there is no program, so you might as well just settle in and just continue on with the program. And see, that we know, that's why we know, you and I know that this here is that final message. This here is that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This here is that, who is then that faithful and wise servant who's going to bring forth meat and due season. You and I are the only two people that'll say things the way they need to be said. You and I are the only two people for the last episode, the 15, that can actually come out and expose that other right thing, expose these communes, expose these religions, because it says at the end time, God's going to take the reps off. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you see. That's what this religious thing is all about. And when these cops are played, they think we're blaspheming because they've been brainwashed and thinking that community style living is the end all world. It's nothing. It's controlled by Satan. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. Like it was just said, back in the days of Martin Luther, just to live by faith, along come these legalists. And then, you got to live in a commune. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. And then they give them a certain dress code. And then they give them this, that, and the other. Then here comes Yamish, you know, saying you got to have horse and buggies. You can't be part of the modern thing, man. And then they still with their horses and their bumpers, just to survive. And it's crazy what people get caught up in. And we're just moving on with the Lord. Because it says in the last, that knowledge shall increase. Why not take advantage of the knowledge that's going to increase? Like the iPhone, you know, it's a tremendous amount of information. Just by the tip of a finger, I can just find everything. I go back in history if I want something. I just think about it. All I got to do is tap in and find out what happened back then. That's how I found out what's about these communes. Where did they originate it from? Where did the Julius guy down in Ontario, where did he come from? And here I find out, just by pressing a button, it's just part of that commune style. Where did his Abraham Arnold come up out? All of it, behind it is the spirit of Satan, because God had his seven stars. God had the Martin Luther's. God had a John Wesley. And here in these closing days of time, he's got Brother Branham. And anything outside of that channel, anything outside of that chamber, is going to take you out to hell and death. It's just that simple. And we just happen to tap into it. We're telling people the way it needs to be told. We're not walking on eggshells. We're saying it exactly the way it happened and what's beneficial for the hour we're living in. And now all that's out there left is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you reject it, like I said the other day, you're going to have to go through that Holocaust that's coming up, through the great tribulation that's coming. And we're just here to warn people. And like I say, we kind of trouble that not too many people listen, because we know it's the truth. We know there is nothing outside of this here truth, and yet nobody wants it. It's some tap for a month, 2 months, and then all of a sudden we say something that offends them, just exactly what Jesus said to John. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. Blessed mm-hmm. is he that is not offended in me and my word. We can't help saying the things we're saying, and we can't help saying it the way we're saying it. I know we're strong and we're right to the point, because we told the Lord, Lord, use us for your honor, for your glory. Help us never to flinch and not to walk on eggshells. Just let us say it the way it needs to be said. Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing. We're just exposing everything out there, because, like I say, in the last days, that's exactly when God's going to take the wraps off, and he's going to expose even the intents of the heart here in these closing days of time. That's why we could come out now and expose that heart, I think, for what it is. It's nothing but pure Satanism at the end of the day. Why would you want to serve Satan?
You have, that's really what those religious systems are. Like I saw it the other day. Like when people back in the Old Testament, they worshipped these gods of Moab, of the Edomites, of the Ammonites. They all had their specific gods. Like they had the Moloch, they had the Dagon, the dragon or whatever it's called. They had different groups of people that were in the land of Canaan and beyond. They had all their specific gods that they fell down and worshipped, and they made them out of wood or stone or whatever they made up. They were statues. And God specifically told them not to worship the gods of these foreign lands, of these foreign people, to totally get rid of it. And he time and time again warned them not to. So because he wanted to be the one that leads and guides them. And the other day I saw it, like when you fall down and serve a god, like they worship, they serve this god, because that was the gods back in the day in the Old Testament. But here in this hour of time, it's these religion gods that people are serving. Like when you will say, like see that the Hutterites, behind that Hutterite lifestyle is actually a spirit, and behind everything is a spirit. It's all driven by a spirit. If you see the spirit behind it, it's actually a god that they're serving. Mm-hmm. And they're serving this false god. Like, we don't like to say these things, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth sets a person free. Like, I know growing up, I felt this darkness, and I didn't know what it was until the Lord started to show me these things. And first of all, you have to face up to the truth. Are you able to handle the truth or not? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people aren't able to handle the truth when we say that Hutterite or that Amish or the Mennonite or all the, of these religious systems out there, behind it is a spirit. And when you serve these religions, behind it is a god, and people, they serve that god. Like the Hutterites, they serve the Hutterite religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Hutterite god that they serve, and you're not really serving the true and living God.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Israelites were told to put all these gods away and don't even look at them, don't even consider them.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell for it every time. And it's the same way with people in this hour. When they're in these religious compounds, they actually serve that religion that they're in. And behind that religion is a god.
That's why we keep saying over and over again, here in these closing days of time, and the church age of Laodicea, just to keep yourself in check, just to keep yourself on that channel, on that stream, here in the 20th century, all God did, he set up Brother Branham, and he said, behold, I'll send you Elisha the prophet to turn the hearts of the children back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. And you and I, we just happen to hear it. We're picked it up, not our inner ear, our spirit, our soul rejoiced in that when we heard it. And of course, the only thing we knew what to do is tell people, because that's it, right? Got us excited. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you get excited? You want everybody to join in and get in that place where there's peace, joy unspeakable, full of glory. And that's what we did. And to this day, I for the life of me can't can't understand why people don't go and tell people, because that's where it's at. That's what'll cause you to shine. Just knowing about it is not going to do nothing for you. But if you go and tell, let them that hear it say come, then that's when that kicks in, where you joy unspeakable, full of glory. And that's what causes you to shine like the star throughout eternity, forever and ever. And once you go and tell, but if you just keep it to yourself, you ain't going anywhere. In fact, what he's going to do is just going to do like that manna that the children of Israel were only supposed to pick together for one day, mm-hmm. and if they had for the next day, just rotted. That's what this will do. Well, this information that we're putting out there, if you don't go and tell people, it's just going to rot. And there's so many examples in the Bible. And all we're doing, we're just trying to stay the course. We're just trying to, every day, we're trying to level best in the closing days of darkness and the closing days of time. We're just trying our level best to stay sober, to stay vigilant, and to just continue to keep on contending on, because we have nowhere else to go. We have nothing else to do. And like now, right now, the last week or so, we're shifting gears, and the Lord's getting us ready to get out of this planet here. Get out of this world here, and then we go out to the rapture. I don't know how all that works. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a wedding coming mm-hmm. up, and that's we've reached that plateau. We've reached that understanding. Like I say, 100 years ago, we couldn't say that, but here in the last week or so, something is shifting. The whole atmosphere, we're exactly where it says, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, even worse than it was in the days of the Lot, because of that transgender and everything that's out there, that's filthy. It's all just filthy. And just to go back, where all this originated from, you have to go back to the garden. That's before Adam and Eve fell, before Satan came on the scene. It was a simple program. God just told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And then he didn't want no robots, and he put out there two laws by which you can be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, but in so doing, there's two laws to do it with. One is the tree of the life, and one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of life was simply just go watch nature, how they do it. The nature was not given two laws by which to be fruitful and multiply, because nature was also given the commission. The deer was also given the commission, be fruitful and multiply. But in so doing, they were only given one law, and you can go out there in the wild, and you can see how they're still staying with that one law. But see, God didn't want robots, so he gave mankind, Adam and Eve, two laws by which to be fruitful and multiply with, and one to be bringing out the simplicity of it. One was the tree of life, was sex for reproduction purposes only. But Satan gets in the sea, gets in the devil gets into that serpent's head. That serpent was not a reptile. That serpent was an upright creature shaped just like Adam and Eve. He was a servant, and we could say it over and over, but I felt moved in the last week just to clarify, make it so simple that even a child can understand. And then Adam and Eve, by the deception of Satan, they chose to use that reproduction program for sex for pleasure. That's what you get out there. That's Satan's powerful weapon, sex for pleasure. And the only way that now you can have sex within the confines of marriage. See, you and I, we're not in the reproductive program, because I knew when the Lord could see, the Lord's going to put us together, and we're going to spend a lot of time together. And the first thing I did, I got on my knees twice, asked the Lord that we'd never be fall into that trap that Adam and Eve fell into. And to this day, we haven't gone there because we're not interested. We're not in the reproductive program at all. Mm-hmm. We are into spiritual reproduction. We're eating out of, partaking out of the tree of life. And mm-hmm. like I say, we have not been given a commission to be fruitful and multiply. We let the people out there do it. We're not interested in that. We're interested in the heavenly thing, being spiritual children to the Lord, you know. That's right. Why we're doing what we're doing here every day. Somewhere, someday, it's going to bear fruit, and there's going to be people coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's our whole aim. We're not part of that sex for pleasure thing, and they never did Yeah, if you let yourself go, if you let your natural man do whatever he wants to do, you'd get caught up in that trap. That's why we're staying alert. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burned. That's why we're doing what we're doing, so we don't fall into the vice of the flesh. That's why we're walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you let yourself go, of course you'll be drifting in there. That's why we keep our limbs all trimmed and burning. That's why we're doing what we're doing, just to keep ourselves spiritually alert.
That's right. And of course, if you follow the flesh, you're going to do the things of the flesh. But if you follow the Spirit, then you're going to do the things that the Spirit man will be, and God be lifted up and glorified. Like people don't realize that there is a spirit and there is the natural man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you constantly feed the natural man, and like people, like even be a glutton, that's feeding the natural man. But if you, let's say if you crucify him and mortify the natural man, then the spiritual man can be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we ever wanted, is to get to know God and to know His Word. And that's what the journey that God has put us on. And you know, people, they believe what they want to believe. I found that out to be a truth, that people believe what they want to believe, because in a way it's their security. And people don't want to get out of their comfort zone, because the minute they start accepting, you know, this is actually a spiritual journey that we're on, then they kind of have to do something about it. But if they just continue to believe in a lie, then they feel they're not going to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But God's going to hold people accountable one day for believing a lie versus the truth.
Amen to that. He sets a trap for them, mm-hmm. and they don't know. Like you were saying, back in the days when Jesus was born, He made sure that to the natural man it looked like He was conceived out of wedlock, but it was a spiritual thing. And to this day, God sets a trap for them, and they don't even know that they're walking right into a trap, and they're condemning themselves, because over in Jude it says they speak evil of things which they're completely clueless of. Mm-hmm. They think they got the rights to slander us and to mock us and to accuse us of having this being a sex capade. But back in Jude, they're like brood beasts. They talk and speak of things that they're completely clueless of, and thereby they defile themselves with that thought or with that phrase or whichever. And the Bible says, thereby they're defiling themselves, mm-hmm. talking evil of things like brood beasts, talking evil of things that they're completely clueless of. And God sets it up that way. And then He lets them go out to hell in that, simply because their heart ain't right. They're not born again. They don't have the Spirit of the living God. They haven't exercised spiritual qualities in their life, that they fall for Satan's tricks. And Satan has an ED. He just takes them out left, right, and center. And the devil knows that he can't stop what you and I are doing. So what does he do? He tries to pervert it, making things like it's a sex campaign. And that's how people are caught up in that trap. And then, like I say, they're like these brute beasts. They talk evil, or they don't even have to talk. They just have to think it. They think evil of things that they're completely clueless of. I can see their expression on their face when they see you and I together. That smirk comes over their face. And they don't even have to say it. They just have to think it. It's a second up program. There's these two again. And thereby, just by their talk, they're defiling themselves. And then they end up, why do they have all kinds of problems? Why do they have cancer? Why do they have all these sicknesses? Why do they get Alzheimer's? Simply because their heart ain't right. They're not born again. They're not. They're part of that phrase when God told Moses, "If you walk in my way, I will put that allow none of these diseases to come on."
Mm-hmm. I firmly believe, like Alzheimer comes from not speaking up,
not speaking the truth.
For not speaking the truth, like I know, when you live in that Hutterite system, there is a lot of fear factor involved. And people are scared to stand up and speak the truth because, like I said, behind it, every religion, there is a God. There is not the big G, the little G God, okay? The gods of the Old Testament that they made out of wood, hay, and stubble. whatever it is, wooden stone, and or gold, whatever they made out of them out of. But in this day and age, it's religious gods, and people are afraid. That religion puts a fear on people, and they're so scared to speak up and tell the truth. And I firmly believe that's where Alzheimer's come from. It's because people let that fear overtake them, and then they don't speak the truth of what God would want them to speak. And then see that slowly wears away on your mind. And then your mind becomes numb, because the devil does that, and fear does that. And that, I firmly believe that's where Alzheimer's comes from.
Well, they check it, see if it's going to cost them anything. Mm-hmm. Like that Marvin Jadell that we used to go to church with. I got up to the plate, and I told Marvin, God has a work for you to do, but you can't be a wimp. You got to come up and step up to the plate. When you see corruption in the church, you address it and be done with it. And here, mm-hmm. I came up with all these strange teachings. He was anointed to do that, to test you and I. Well, I stepped up to the plate, and mm-hmm. you and I, we challenged him. And then we knew the Lord's going to take us on from there, but I left it in Marvin Jadell's court, and I said, Marvin, God has a work for you to do. Don't be a wimp. Just step up to the plate and do whatever you need to do. Because he had come out of the zone, the truth is so precious to me. Well, let's see if the truth is precious to me. Let's see if you're willing to put your life on the line and tell Lyle about this corrupt things that he's trying to tell people. And he never did. He buckled on it, and in no time at all, he got Alzheimer's. A young guy, healthy and everything, all of a sudden he gets Alzheimer's and comes over some kind of a home there where they got to take care of him. That's what happened. That's what happened to that Johnny from here. He's out there having, don't even know his own name anymore. Don't even know his own kids. That's what happens when people don't speak up. They think it's cool not to speak up, but you don't have to pay for the consequences.
Right.
When the time comes and God calls on you to speak up, you just speak up and be done with it. That's exactly what you and I did. We went up to the plate and we told them, he told these priests, I told my father, I told my dad, this is a pile of garbage. There's nothing in it. It's of Satan. Well, they didn't believe me. Well, that's their problem then. It's not my problem. But we do what we can, and we say it, we expose it, just exactly what the Bible says. We can't expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's our job. That's what we do, and we do it gladly because it's the will of God for our life. That's why we pray, Lord, use us for your honor and for your help us to say it the way it needs to be said. And that's what we're doing here.
That's
we're
right.
not, we're not stopping. We're just giving pedal to the metal. If people like it, fine. If not, well, that's going to be their problem. We're living in the closing days of time, and we don't want to lose our focus. We're getting ready to get out of here. Somebody has to have a voice. There's got to be a voice somewhere that tells people what's going on. That religious, spiritual wickedness in high places, that's these communes, that's these religions out there that's being exposed. We're just exposing them for what they are. And people, they've been brainwashed into think we're the bad guys and they're the good guys, but it's exactly the opposite. But see, we're just doing our part.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. And we know that you've called us to do a job, Lord, and we're not here to please men, but to do and to be of service for you and for your kingdom, Lord. We're not, like Paul said, if I am here to please men, then I cannot please be a servant of God, Lord. And we just want to speak the truth and let people know the truth, because it's the truth that sets people free, Lord. We know what that unfruitful works of darkness is, Lord, because you've let us walk through it and we've experienced it, Lord. We're not just saying things we don't know something about, Lord, but you've walked us through it and you've let us see it for what it really is, Lord. And we know all our lives, Lord, we've prepared for your coming, Lord, so that when that day does come, that you can take us on home, Lord. So we know that we're in that season of time, Lord, where for your coming, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we'll always keep our hearts ready and waiting and watching, Lord, for your return. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.